Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Where are the teachers? In our area alone, school districts have seen a mass exodus just during the last year. All of this as school systems are hoping to hire more teachers to fill the classrooms. Fairfax County wants to hire 600 teachers for the coming school year. 1,070 teachers have resigned from Montgomery County over the past year. Prince George's County wants to hire 1,000 teachers for this year. And between January and June, 372 teachers have quit in D.C. What is going on? What is happening to the venerable profession of school teacher? Joining me to provide perspective on this issue is Washington Teachers Union President Jacqueline Pogue Lyons. Lines are open right now. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. And we want to hear from teachers tonight, teachers who perhaps have left the job over the past year or so, or teachers who are maybe thinking about leaving the job, or even the teachers who are staying. We want to know why. Ms. Lyons, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely.
And good evening.
Good evening. You are in a unique position. You have your ear to the ground as it relates to how teachers are feeling and what they're doing. What are you hearing? What are teachers telling you as to why they are leaving their profession over the past year?
Well, we can say that this is an issue that anybody in education, and if you've been in education for a while, we've seen this coming. I don't know if anyone remembers that Time Magazine did a report probably about 3 or 4 years ago, and on the cover, they did several different covers where they said that there was one teacher on the cover that was memorable, where she said that she teaches, she has an advanced degree, but she still has to donate blood in order to make ends meet. That is an issue that exists in many of our locals and districts all around the country where teachers study hard, they have a degree, they have graduate degree, and they are still not able to make ends meet in the teaching profession. We'll add that to what has happened over the last 2 years. We had COVID, and although we in the district, I can speak for where our teachers work, we routinely lose a quarter or more of our teachers. And so when you talk about us in the District of Columbia, we have about 5,100 teachers and related service providers. So if you're losing a quarter or more every year, that can easily get up to half after 2 years. So we constantly see a turnover of teachers, which has been made worse by COVID. Where people met the needs of students virtually, and then they came back into the classroom because all our teachers knew the best place for our students to learn was in person. They got vaccinated. Although they felt some fear about the virus, they came back into the classroom. And many of our teachers said by far this was one of the toughest years they've ever had. And it causes people to think, is this something, I love the students. They never say it's about the students. And they say the work is rewarding. But they feel like there's a lack of respect, a lack of support and trust. And it makes you think, maybe this is not where I need to be. And there's a shortage, particularly of young people, in all professions. And so there's a lot of competition for our teachers to either go into other professions or to go across the bridge or up the road to teach in other places where they might get more support and more respect.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about teaching and why so many teachers are leaving one school district to go to another or leaving the profession altogether. If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you are a teacher who is thinking about leaving, one who has left recently, or one who is going to stay in the fight, I'd like to hear from you. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lines will be open all the way up until about 8 o'clock or so. So, Ms. Lyons, drill down a little bit more, if you can, when you talk about, yes, COVID has been tough for all of us. The pandemic has been tough for all of us. But every job has specific challenges that are presented to them as it relates to the pandemic. Be specific about what teachers are telling you.
Right. Well, like I said, teachers rarely complain about the students. They don't leave because of the students. They find the work with the students very rewarding. But I know in the district, many of our teachers returned to working conditions that did not support what they needed to do in the classroom, knowing that our students, many of them had been out for a year and a half. So our teachers returned in August. They're supposed to get a supply card, a $200 supply card. They received it in August, but for most of them, those supply cards didn't start working until December. The cards were online. They didn't start working until December, which means they had to go in their pockets to get supply cards. We felt like our students needed a lot of social and emotional support, because many of our students, and particularly in our underserved communities, had gone through a lot over the year and a half. Many of them had lost family members. Many of them had suffered economically. So we knew that there were going to be some gaps in learning, but we also knew there were going to be some social and emotional gaps. And the teachers felt like, when I talked to them, that they were constantly bombarded with testing, and testing is important, but to feel like that's more important than supporting our kids in their social and emotional growth and in their healing. Because, again, as I said, in many of our underserved communities, teachers didn't even know what some of our students went through or what the loss, and they didn't get the support there. And many of the teachers felt that they were out on their own, giving the kids the academic support they needed as well as the social, emotional support they needed. And that takes a community. That takes enough social workers, enough counselors, as well as teachers to get our children where they need to be socially and emotionally so that they can be ready to get what they need academically.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about teaching. What has happened to teaching? Why are so many teachers deciding to leave their careers or move to other school systems? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ebony, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Ebony, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yes, I do agree with the speaker. There isn't one particular thing. I think there are a multitude of things. I myself was in the classroom at one point, and I decided to leave the classroom. And I didn't leave teaching in an entire capacity, but what I did was, because I felt that, honestly, I was overworked and underpaid, and I felt that I wasn't being appreciated for my services. Because one thing about an educator, you're more than an educator. You're a parent when you're there. You're someone's mom, or you're someone's dad, or you're someone's aunt or uncle. Like, we provide a lot of services outside of just educating the children. And I just did feel that I was valued, and I didn't feel that I was being paid for what I believe my services was. So I decided to become an entrepreneur. However, I still stayed in the school system, but just at a different capacity. And to be honest, like, that was a great decision for me. It worked out for me because I'm still able to deal with the children, but just not in a teacher. So I'm able to fulfill that for myself, but financially as well, I'm able to be fine.
Ebony, you're breaking up a little bit. Let me ask you real quick. How long have you been a teacher? How long were you in the classroom before you decided to leave? How many years?
For 2 years.
2 years. And what did you do before that? What did you do before you became a teacher?
Before I was a teacher, I worked for the government as well. Mm-hmm. I was a teacher many a years ago. And when the pandemic started, I noticed that there was a need for educators, so I decided to get back into the classroom just to give it another try. But, like I said, I still do. I work with children, but I'm not directly in the classroom.
Okay.
Because I just felt that it was a lot of work, and I just didn't feel like I was being valued.
Okay.
So I decided to do it in a different capacity.
Well, Ebony, thank you so much, and good luck to you. 202 319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're asking, where are the teachers? Why are teachers leaving the classroom and going to other school districts or leaving the career altogether? Let's go to Carl. Carl calling from Maryland. Carl, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon. Good evening, everyone.
Hi, go right ahead.
The question, I want to answer that question by saying this. Teachers may be leaving other school systems for better pay in those school systems that are offering somebody. For an example, you can leave if you taught a few years in Prince George's and you're still making $51,000 a year. You can go to D.C. and make more. You can go to Montgomery County and make more. So they doing that as well for mm-hmm. their living expenses. Also, teachers are very frustrated with being underpaid and not being appreciated. And we have found that those are the two biggest reasons why we struggle to keep teachers in our school systems. And for an example, if the economy is the average apartment for a single person can be anywhere from $900 to $1,500.
Or more.
And if you start off a salary in Prince George's County schools, you're only making $49,000. Where are you living?
Mm-hmm.
And that has been a problem, and it continues to be a problem. And negotiations for higher teacher salaries don't always go well. This year, they only offering Prince George's teachers up to 5%. And we deserve more, and we have fought through the pandemic. And with the kids online, we have supported and stood firm. But we seem not to be appreciated. And this is a big reason why teachers are leaving.
Well, let me ask you this, Carl, because my producer is saying that you are going to stay. How long have you been a teacher, and why are you staying?
I have 3 years left. And
before retirement?
Before retirement.
I see.
Okay. And I have thought about leaving. In fact, I was hired by another school system, but I have 3 years left. I stay.
Yeah.
And give my all to what I've always wanted to do.
Okay.
It's hard.
Well, Carl, thank you so much. You've provided us with a great deal of insight. Ms. Lyons,
yes.
We've had two callers now speak about pay. And the lady who spoke before Carl, she also spoke about support. We could argue that that is an issue that is not new. I mean, the issue about pay and support is a pre-pandemic discussion. So what do you say to what we've heard so far from these callers?
I totally agree with both callers. And I will say that we know that teachers don't go into teaching to be millionaires, but we do want to be able to make a living to provide for ourselves and our family. I relate to what Mr. Carl is saying because I am president of the Washington Teachers Union, and we've been negotiating for a contract for 3 years, coming up on 3 years. Our contract ended in 2019. And many of the things that we were negotiating for had to do with being paid fairly and also having to do with improving working conditions. And we all know that good working conditions for our teachers makes for great learning conditions for our students. And I think that our members were very disappointed that they left at the end of the school year after getting vaccinated, going and teaching in person, many of them coming down with COVID themselves in the classroom, very disappointed that we were not able to get a contract. And I have in my family young nieces and nephews who are in their early 20s in other professions who right now are making more than what a 20-year, 25-year veteran teacher is making.
Okay. Hold your point. I'm going to let you finish. I've got to take a break. And I'm also going to remind our listeners, including Ray, Sid, Laurie, do not hang up. We're going to talk to you next. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If the lines are busy, please call back. I promise we're going to get in as many phone calls as we can. We're going to take a quick break, but don't forget you can hear this and every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast. It's on our website on whur.com. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. Stretch continues. Filling in for John Mons this week with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. I'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about why so many teachers are leaving their jobs. What's going on and what can be done about it? My guest is Washington Teachers Union President Jacqueline Pogue-Lyons, and you, the listener, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Looking to hear from some teachers tonight, whether you've recently left the job over the past year or so, whether you're thinking about leaving, or whether you're going to hang in there. I want to know why. Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ms. Lyons, please finish your thought.
No, I was basically finished. I just think that we have to pull teaching up into the 21st century, especially now that we've gone through COVID, where most of the teachers that work in the district are between the ages of 25 and 39, unlike what it was like when I started teaching 29 years ago. We have young people who are who want to buy a house, want to buy a condo. They're starting families. They're saddled with lots of student debt, unlike when I got out of college where my student loans were $140 a month.
Ooh.
Yes.
How about that?
I know. That tells you how old I am. But I routinely talk to teachers who have $600, $700 a month school loans. And I just want to point out that I recently learned from the American Federation of Teachers that many of those people who are saddled with that debt are women of color.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to make some changes. We know that teaching is an in-person job. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But we have to understand that if you have a workforce that's between the ages of 25 and 39, their peers, many of them are working from home because that's where the workforce has gone because of COVID. And we're not saying we need to work from home, but what are those things that we can do to make teaching different in the 21st century? And I think we have to have more flexibility, especially if we know that many of our teachers are at the age where they're having families.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So how are we going to get them and keep them? Because many of our first caller, your first caller, said she was in teaching for 2 years. I find that many of the times we can't get our teachers to stay beyond that second, third, or fourth year. If we can get them to stay for five, we think we got them.
Yeah.
But
great at getting wonderful, bright, smart people to come and teach, particularly in the district, but we're not good at keeping them at all.
Okay. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ray, calling from Southeast D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Wow. Listening to Ms. Jackie did change my whole thought, what I was thinking now. But part of the reason, my cousin had been teaching for, my mom's was in the school system and worked in the office, and then my cousin been teaching for years. Part of the problem with why she changed from public schools and went into private schools was one of the reasons where the classrooms were overcrowded. Second thing she used to say was the students and the parents used to attack the teachers, and there was no charges brought against the parents and the students and things like that. So that was part of one of the reasons, two of the reasons why she left. But listen to her now saying about the pay. So if you guys don't, this is a question. If you guys haven't got your contract together, is that on the mayor with all that money she's been getting from all these high taxes on traffic and those cameras, and she can't give y'all more money?
That's a really good question, Ms. Lyons.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ray. Go right ahead.
Well, like I said, we know that this is the District of Columbia and that it is a very expensive place to live. Again, I want to mention that 56% of the people that teach in the district are brown and black. And many of them are women. And so if I'm pointing out to you that many of them are straddled with loans that they have to pay for undergrad and grad, they have to be able to make a living, pay back their loans, and hopefully do what I was able to do, because my loans were $140 a month, buy a car, have a house. We don't do this because we want to make lots and lots of money, but we do want to be able to provide for our families. And it was disappointing that we were not able to achieve a contract, which our contract ended in 2019. And I was hopeful, the union was hopeful. Our teachers were hopeful that we would walk out with a contract, and it didn't happen.
But let me ask you this, because what Ray is asking about is a very simple thing. He's asking about money. And he's saying, you know, obviously, we don't have the benefit of a representative from the D.C. public school system or even Mayor Bowser's administration. But I still think that it is a very legitimate question when we have a city that has a lot of money, for lack of a better term. How much money do you believe the district would need to put out per year to make you, the president, happy with negotiations? I mean, are we talking an extra million a year, an extra 10 million a year? How much money do you believe it would cost to give teachers pay raises that your constituency, your union constituency, would be happy with?
Let me say this, because I can't get into the details of contract negotiations because we don't have it and we're still in the middle, but what teachers are asking for is fair. And many of the things that we want are the things that parents would want for their students. Great working conditions, so that we have great learning conditions. That was what we focused on as a union, knowing that we were coming out of a pandemic, and what were the needs of our students. And many of the things that we focused on was the benefit of time, the benefit of coming to the table to say, hey, this is what we think we need to make our students successful. So I will let those who are responsible for the finances talk about that, but I can say to you that I think what we put was very fair, knowing that we're in inflation and knowing that we haven't had a contract in 3 years. What we're asking for is very fair.
Ray, thank you so much for your question. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Laurie, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Laurie. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mr. Fisher.
Hi.
I am a 26-year veteran in education and with a master's plus education, and I'm one of the people who did walk away. I literally walked away from my pension. As Ms. Lyons said, just the conditions in general were very difficult. I was in Prince George's County. I transferred from a different state to Prince George's County. I love Prince George's County. The students, the neighborhoods, everything. And I always worked in what people would deem as the difficult school. But the challenge wasn't really with the students per se. It was the lack of support from the district level as well as administration. I was taking away from my family to pay for my own materials. Children were coming in sick. I would make sure they got to the nurse. If they were hurt, I was giving them Band-Aids that I purchased. I was, you know, supplying hats and scarves and gloves, just everything. But to support them socially and emotionally right after the pandemic, that was very difficult because I myself was not completely healed from the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So I had decided to actually leave teaching once I saw that I was really saddled with taking care of an ailing elderly parent. But I had the support of my family as well as to walk away. I wanted to walk away 3 years prior to that because I just felt the disrespect, the general disrespect by society, by everyone. When you look in the media, you just see it all over the place. You hear more bad things about educators than good things. And that starts to work on you. It really starts to work on you, when, especially when you look at your paycheck and you're like, okay, wow, do I pay my mortgage or do I go ahead and I pay my $600, you know, student loan and then still provide clothing for my student, for my children?
Okay.
So it was very difficult.
Yeah.
And I think that was the hardest decision I ever had to make. I felt as if I had lost something or someone, and it took me at least 6 to 8 months to go through a mourning period.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I left education so soon.
Okay. Well, Laurie, thank you so much for sharing with us. Ms. Lyons, I did want to ask, and this is before I go back to the phone lines. I did want to ask, I mean, we've had a lot of conversations about pay. I get it. And you could juxtapose the profession of teachers with just about anything, because I would argue that a whole lot of people who are doing something that they like or love may not feel that they are being paid enough. Okay. We got the pay thing down. But the classroom, the environment, the modern teacher environment has changed. And I think we saw a lot of pressure, and you mentioned part of this, the emphasis on testing and the kind of pressure that teachers have been feeling, probably for at least the increased pressure, I should say, for at least the past decade. But the thing that we have seen more recently, for example, in Virginia, is how teachers are teaching and what teachers are teaching and how children have evolved their home life, what they know, what they've been exposed to. Talk about, you know, that, for example. You talked about in D.C. more than 50% of the teachers are black and brown. So you've got issues of diversity, ethnicity. You have issues of race. You have issues related to gender. All of those things, I would imagine, depending on how long the teacher has been in the classroom, will have an impact on how they see the profession.
Definitely. I will say that in the District of Columbia, unlike our neighbors in Virginia, where they had a really long election season where it came down to what was actually being taught in the classroom. So I think we live in a progressive city where teachers feel open
to teach the diversity that exists out there with books and curriculum and materials. But what I do find that a lot of teachers are finding is the over-testing and the micromanaging within the classroom.
What does that mean when you say micromanaging? Give me an example.
Many of your teachers who stay in this profession don't just have the bachelor's degree. They have a graduate degree, and they specialize in a certain area. So for me, I was an ELL teacher.
What is an ELL? Help me with that.
English language learner teacher.
Okay.
And as well as a background in special ed. And I always had a love and specialty in reading. And many teachers have their specialty in math, science, literature. Many times they feel overburdened because there are people coming into the classroom telling them how to teach what they know is their specialty and what they've been doing for many years. And are very good at it. And that's what burdens a lot of teachers, is that they don't respect that they're professionals and know what is going to help their children be successful. They constantly feel like somebody's over them telling them to do this, to do that, maybe this way, this is how long you have to do it. And if they don't do what they're told to, they can be evaluated unfairly. And the district, we have an evaluation system called IMPACT. And many people don't know that that system has been found to be racist and biased, particularly against brown and black teachers. And it's a certain way that teachers have to teach, and it doesn't take into consideration that I'm a professional. And there, even though this evaluation system says I should do this, maybe because I am a professional, I should do something else today for John and Jane.
Okay.
And that's why a lot of teachers leave the profession, because they feel like they're micromanaged from the time they walk into the classroom to the time they leave.
Let me go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Sid, calling from Virginia. Sid, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Harold? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I wanted to touch on something, but I guess you're guest and your previous guest with the teacher hit on some of those already. When you say pay, I know pay is one thing, but the thing is, teachers are, with the advent of technology, I'm in computers myself, with all the stuff that has to do with my kids are already grown out of college and everything, but I remember going through, posting stuff on, not only do you have to just hand out homework, but you got to post stuff online and, make sure it's available on time, and their day doesn't begin. I mean, their day begins before the students get there, and their day ends after the students go home. Plus, they go home and grade papers in the evening and everything. So when you talk about pay, you talk about 40 hours, right?
Right.
Whatever salary, we all get 40 hours. But one of my coworkers very profoundly said, when I work more than 40 hours, I'm taking a pay cut because my salary is agreed upon 40 hours a week. But and I know and everybody knows the teachers work way more. And I totally respect the teachers. They are very underappreciated. And I think, get said about not being respected, for all the hard work. And then you get all kinds of students, then you got pressure from the parents, and you got these other socioeconomic issues. I mean, it's just like crazy. They're under so much pressure that if I was a teacher, I cannot imagine teaching in this type of environment.
Yeah.
It's just, it's just very tough. But much respect to all the teachers, and God bless you guys. I mean,
Sure thing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Sid. 202-319-7810. Maddie, calling from Southeast D.C. Thanks for calling, Maddie. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hi. I am concerned because I realize that this is something that has been going on for a long time.
Yep.
Getting, the fight of getting the teachers paid to also getting the kids what they need. And I'm just trying to figure out how can we make this happen in the different communities, because I think it's going to only get worse. I had a conversation, and the two callers called, and then the other young lady who both, I feel like one was more seasoned than the other, but one said that she had a love for teaching, so she came back, but then she felt she wasn't getting paid enough. But Carl, on the other hand, has a great love of wanting to help these different children that he knows that needs teachers like him that really care. But I really do believe that now there's more younger teachers coming into the classroom who is dealing with raising their own families, along with their kids,
yeah,
being over, stressed and worked and not realizing, even taking that job as a teacher, what comes with being a teacher. Because like she said, they become parents, psychologists, whatever, you name it, trying to meet them socially and emotionally. Like, it's a whole lot for anybody. And I just feel that it's like, when does this stop? Like,
yeah,
what can we do?
Well, that's Maddie, thank you for that. And that brings me to my next question, Ms. Lyons. We understand the scope of the problem, the depth of the problem, the difficulty. How do you fix this? Let's throw the money thing out the window, because everybody's talking about money. I get it. Okay? You know, if the teachers could get a 10% raise, that would solve a lot of problems, but it wouldn't solve the more allow me to put my Zen hat on, the more holistic issue and the evolution of the classroom, the student, the kinds of education that that communities want children to have so that they can compete in the global marketplace. No, when they graduate from high school and get a job.
Right.
So
right.
How do you fix this? What would you recommend outside of the money piece?
Right, outside, because sometimes we all know you can't just throw money at a problem, because you might have a Band-Aid for a little while, but it's not going to fix it. One of the things we have to try to model our schools on is the community school model, where it's the school is seen as the center of the community, where people can come in and children can come in and not just get academic services, but get the social and emotional services that they need, the medical services that they need. Because if we don't fix those things, kids are not going to come and sit and stay in the classroom. So if they need to be fed, the community school can feed them. If they need the parents and the families and the students need psychological help, it's there. If they need social workers, it's there. If they need job training, we have the people there to help them. So we in many of our communities, it has to be a community school. We have to fix the teacher pipeline. Teaching is the only profession where you would take someone straight out of college and throw them into a room with 30 or 25 or 26 students by themselves and lock the door. Mm. They don't do that to brain surgeons. They don't do that to attorneys. They don't do that in any profession except teaching. We have to have veteran teachers, and I would even say we could bring in high school students who are thinking about teaching and pair them with that new teacher, and there's where we have the flexibility, where that fifth grade teacher just out of college could get support from a veteran teacher throughout the day, a high school senior who's thinking about teaching. We have to think about teaching as we think about other professions by giving support. If you give that first year teacher out of college going into fifth grade to teach the support that he or she needs, you'll find that people will stay in the profession. Make sure the classroom is up to par. Make sure it's like walking into Google or walking into where YouTube or name any other corporation, where there's the technology necessary, where there's the equipment necessary. Teachers should not continually have to take out of their pockets to buy the things that they know their students need.
You know, something that just occurred to me. Have you seen the sitcom Abbott Elementary?
Yes, and I cry on the floor laughing when I watch it. It's almost like the writer and the producers are in my head. Every teacher that watches it can agree with it and enjoy it.
And it's hilarious. But yes, something that you just said reminded me of one of the first episodes where the new teacher, played by Quinta Brunson, yes, goes to Cheryl Lee Ralph, the veteran teacher, and mm-hmm. she says, I want to learn from you. I want to see how you control your classroom. And, you know, the funny part is, you know, Cheryl Lee Ralph's character is not very helpful in doing that. But to the point that you're just making, to have a veteran teacher and a rookie teacher, it's in the same classroom, it is the Obi-Wan to Luke Skywalker kind of thing. And you know, from an outsider, it sounds great. Now, certainly you probably know, you know, my mother is a retired DC school principal. You know, my father held the same position that you had, but he started, you know, in the classroom. My daughter is now working in a charter school in the District of Columbia. She's in the classroom. And so my sister started as a teacher. I'm the only one that said, no, I'm not going to do that. But I'm really, you know, struck by the idea that you just had, you know, and I know that's just, you know, just the tip of the iceberg, because there are so many moving parts, and those parts will continue to move and grow and evolve as we move through this. But I was just, I was really struck by that Abbott Elementary imagery. Let me go back and grab another caller. Annette, okay, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hi, my name is Annette.
Yes.
And I'm a veteran teacher. I've been teaching for 31 years. I taught 20 years in special education, and now I teach 10 years in English language arts, sixth grade. And this was the first year, this past year, that we went back with the pandemic.
Right.
That I actually thought about quitting. In October, I was ready to quit. And I was looking at just what can I do? I'm very close to retirement, like the young man, the gentleman Carl that called before. And so, and I actually love teaching. Like, literally, if you take out all the other stuff, which I say is BS that we do, the teaching part most teachers love. And again, we don't go into it for the pay. We go into it because we want to positively impact students. But the reason I felt like teaching is just like the young lady said earlier, we were thrown in the classroom with no real protocols. If they did have protocols in place, they changed almost daily. And it was no one else to support us. And it was so unfortunate for their students and for their teachers, because we were in there on the front lines trying to teach the curriculum. I had grace on myself, because I'm like, and grace on the students. We have to think about some mindfulness, some positive energy. So we did a lot of that. But it's like, I'm a veteran teacher. What about teachers coming in new? It was ridiculous. And then even within the pandemic, at our school, we had a threat of someone coming in to shoot. It ended up not being a real threat, but it was like a week or so after that big Michigan school shooting.
Yeah, I remember
so
that.
We're looking at all of these things in place, and they talk of the game that they care about schools, they care about families, they care about students, but they don't, because they don't put the resources. And the other thing that was so disappointing, no one listens to us. Yeah. They don't even listen to me as a veteran teacher. I told and I have a very supportive principal, but some of the younger assistant principals, some of them weren't even in the classroom that long. But when I say to them, this is something that needs to happen, they're questioning me. Yeah. And I think that's a part of the, microaggressions, because I'm Black, because I don't think that they would do that with a white veteran teacher.
Well, Annette, that's all right. I appreciate it, but your input has been helpful, but I'm low on time, and I'm glad to hear that you're still there, and just go in there, hang in there, get that retirement, and then go to the Bahamas or
whatever. You know, I'm moving somewhere warm, maybe Bermuda.
There you go, Annette. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Bye-bye. Thing. Ms. Lyons, I only have a minute left, but
yes.
Just kind of give me a final thought about moving forward. We've talked about the pay. We've talked about where we were, about how do we get better and retain these teachers that we're losing.
Yes, well, like all of your callers have said, it's not the students. You work hard in teaching, but it is the most rewarding thing that you could ever do with your life. But the pipeline is drying up, and we have to think, be more flexible about what we can do to bring this profession into the 21st century by looking at what they do in other professions to get and keep good people, because the competition is great. When you have wonderful, smart, bright young people who do well in teaching, they can do well in any other profession. And that's what we're finding out because of this pandemic, that the competition is great for wonderful young people. Because if you can teach and deliver information to young people, you can do almost anything else in other professions.
Yeah.
So that's what we have to think of. How are they keeping good people in other professions? We have to do the same thing by thinking, how do you evaluate them? How do you mentor them? How do you support them in a profession where you're not going to make a lot of money?
Yeah.
How do we keep them by perhaps loan forgiveness?
Yeah, how about that?
Teach right.
Yeah, that's the other side of the money piece.
Yep.
I'm out of time. Washington Teachers Union President Jacqueline Pogue Lyons, thank you so much for talking to us. I appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, July 26th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.